Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and hey, thanks for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. Hey, do you know what our show is all about? I'm Pastor Joe Schofield, and it's always a privilege for all of us to have you with us on our program, Raising Expectations. We're people of faith. We love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible makes it really clear in John 3:16, you know, God so loved the world, he gave what? His only begotten Son. And whosoever believes in him will have everlasting life, will never perish. That's a good thing. We know where we're going someday. But the coolest part of that is he promises to be with us every single day. Now, the best way to have your expectations raised is to go to him and say, Lord, thanks for loving me. Thanks for living in my heart. How are we going to work this out? Whatever your fear, whatever your anxiety, whatever your decision, whatever it might be, your eternal life starts not when you get there, but the moment you receive Christ, and he will speak to you. So he's only a prayer away. And remember, prayer, took me a while to learn, is a two-way street. You talk to him, then you listen to him, and he's always going to respond because he loves you. So again, thanks for being here. We hope that your expectations will be raised, because if you turn to the one who does the raising, you'll be so excited day after day. Again, it's a privilege and an honor to introduce you to some of the most wonderful people that I've ever known in my life. And they make up our co-host team for Raising Expectations. And I'm going to start on the West Coast, sometimes known as the Left Coast. But we're going to go out there and let you know that the Lord is living and he's alive and well. And we've got Dr. Paul Hall, who's a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's an incredible man. So many people love him. He's there in Lompoc, California, in Rocket Town, right, Paul?
Rocket Town, USA.
That's it. the guy that keeps things going there is Dr. Paul Hall. If you have any questions, you contact him. You can get him right on our website and let him know and pray for him and thank him for his ministry. He's our scribe, too. So he'll be scribing. Sounds good, doesn't it? I don't think that's a word, but it sounds great. Scribing for us all through the program. Love you, brother. Glad you're here. Good to see you. So we go from Lompoc all the way to the east, southeast, south coast. And hey, Ron, how would you say that? I'll get it in a minute anyway. And when we get there to South Carolina and Georgia and Tennessee area, we find two of our favorite people in the whole world, Steph and Dr. Craig Thayer. Stephanie is the founder and CEO of Quenching Wells. She's one of the best that you'll find anywhere, we think, in the world, actually. And she teaches you, as a health and nutrition specialist, how to put your body, the temple of God, into shape so that you feel better than you ever thought you could. And then you just mess it up a little bit at Christmas when we get fudge, but it's worth it. And a little bit, all during the year, she'll show you what to eat, how to exercise, how to do things that are just going to make you feel great and ready to go for the Lord. Stephanie is the best. And Mary Durr is an awful great guy who's nodding his head saying, yeah, she is the best. And that's her husband, Dr. Craig Thayer. He is a trauma surgeon. He is a father, a godly man, a coach, and an author. His new book is just out, and we've been sharing it with you. It's fantastic. You want to get your copy. It's called Saved. It's on our website. If you go to the website, our engineer's got it for you right there. Thank you, TJ. Saved, Finding God in the Ordinary, and that's where God raises expectations, in the ordinary things of our life that we least expect. He's always got a plan. So you'll want to get your copy, Finding God in the Ordinary, Trauma Surgeon's Life Story. You'll have to get it, Saved, by Dr. Craig Thayer. So Craig and Stephanie, two of God's precious people, two of our wonderful friends. And I tell you, if I was a younger pastor again, I could build a church with the Lord's direction with people like this all over the world. These are the kind of people that make things happen. Right, Paul? Paul believes the same way, because we're a couple old pastors here. Oh, we're not that old. Ancient might fit, but we're getting old anyway. So anyway, we're moving from the southeast coast across country.
From the south
to the great state of Texas, which is also the south.
It's Central America.
It's Central America. Anyway, and that's where we find one of our favorite pastors in the whole world, and that's Pastor Ron Greer.
He's America's Last Stand, Texas.
America, Texas, there you go. Hold down the fort, Ron. But Ron is a counsel expertise. He works with men. He helps men, as we often say. to discover what God's doing in their life. He'll be the first one to tell you. God prays, you listen, go get a hold of his hand and watch what he can do in your life. And there's never any mountain too big for him to climb, because he made all the mountains in front of you. He'll just smooth them out if you do what he says and follow his steps. Ron will help you. Guys, check them all out on the website. Go to our website, find out what they're doing, learn what to eat, learn how to pray, learn what God's doing in the ordinary, learn what he's doing in the activities and the things of your life. Man, you got coverage. I'm glad you tuned in to Raising Expectation, because that's what we're here for. We love the Lord. And if we could see you right now, we'd give you a hug and thank you for being with us. Now, tonight, we've got a guy who knows what it means to pray. We've got a guy with us tonight who knows what it means to raise expectations, to be discouraged and anxious, and let God replace that with enthusiasm and joy, which he's done in our guest tonight, Chris Morris, back for part two. He is an outstanding young teacher. You know the story. He shared it with you last week, how he was a teacher, and he teaches math, which automatically makes him top of the list for us. He's right up there close with Dr. Thayer when it comes to understanding things. Sometimes when guys like this talk, we kind of shake our head and say, right? That works for us. So Chris is coming on here in a minute. He'll be with us. And in fact, I see him now. Chris is he's followed the Lord's leadership. God has blessed him. We love bringing guys like Chris to you because he's going to encourage you the same way. Let God work in your life. Let him enthuse and change your life and watch what can happen. Chris, hey, let's give him the round of applause because we're so glad you're with us tonight. Welcome, Chris. We're glad you're here. Good to have you with us, bro.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, guys. You guys have all been super, super gracious and supportive, and I've appreciated the prayers I know that you've provided over the course of the past week. And so I'm excited to be back on and, you know, just kind of share some more as the Lord leads. So,
amen. Chris, may I say something before we begin? You were like way too subdued last week. I'd like to see a little more animation, okay? That'd be number one. And I get jokingly referred to as a person who theologues. I was theologuing on some things you said last week.
Okay.
And I went to Panda Express, got two fortune cookies. My messages were not so clear, so my theologuing led me to believe that God works mysteriously in different ways in different people's lives.
Yeah.
So I'm glad you got the cookies. Mine were a little less distinct. It's so good to see you. Glad you're here. We really enjoyed you last week, and I look forward to this week.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Paul. That's hilarious. If it makes you feel any better, my wife has tried to theologue the same Panda Express experience, and she tells me the same thing. I don't really understand how this is going to apply to my life. I'm like, well, maybe it's me and God. You know, you gotta learn how he talks to you. So yeah. I would say that. Well,
it's like the guy who said, I always search for God's will by just close my eyes, open the Bible, put my finger on a verse of scripture.
Yeah.
And the verse he found was Judas went out and hanged himself, go thou and do likewise. So you got to be careful. You just got to be careful.
Yeah, you do. I've done that before. In my experience, God will be gracious when you're a new Christian or you're first starting out, and sometimes that number works. And then eventually you hit one, and it's like, woe unto you. You'll die tomorrow. I'm like, oh, done this. I got to grow up.
Looking forward to it, Chris.
Well, yeah, I appreciate the kind words. So Joe, what do you want us to do? Pick up where we left off?
Or tell us about those awards and how they worked. I know we're going to interact. It's going to be. First of all, Stephanie might have a question. You have that question look.
No, I'm just here. I'm just here for the entertainment. I know about the Morrisseys, but I know we had to end it very quickly.
Yeah.
So let's, you know, dig back in.
Pick it up and roll. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, for those who might be joining, I guess, for the first time, if you didn't catch last week, go back and check it. I'll humbly submit. It might make what I'm saying now make more sense. But basically, you know, I was working in public education. God totally opened up a door for me to do it. I mean, even how I got into it, traditionally, you wouldn't be able to start your career the way I did, but it was a unique time. And the Lord really used it at a perfect divine time in my life to open up, you know, me to be able to get married. And there was a whole story there. But anyway, fast forwarding back where we were. I believe we had talked to a guy, a Crip gang member. I don't remember the fake name I gave him because he had a different name than what I'm going to share on the radio show. But I'm going to call him. I'm going to call him Chuck today.
Well, he was Joe last week.
Oh, it was Joe. Okay, yeah. Well, we could give up. I guess I'll stay. I'll keep picking on you, Joe. To, you know.
But he's fluid, so it's okay.
Yeah. Oh yeah, nice. Okay.
He's under Joe. Witness protection now. He had to change his name.
Yeah. Ron, all right. Thank you, Ron, for the contact. No. So yeah, Joe. You know, he was the Crip. He was the one who I was. That really sold me on the fact that God was working and doing what he said he was going to do despite me, right? If y'all missed the joke about the Panda Express, I mean, God just puts what he wants me to see in front of my eyes. He did it yesterday, not at a fortune cookie place. He did it yesterday. He did it the day before. I mean, it's amazing what God will do when people believe that he hears you and you expect to hear his voice. I once heard someone say, it's amazing how the deceiver affects the believer's receiver. I'm going to say that again because that I don't even know what I just said. It's amazing how the deceiver affects the believer's receiver. So my point is, I believe, you know, because the Holy Spirit came, because of what Jesus did, God is always talking. He's always sending out what he wants us to hear, but we have to get our minds renewed. We have to get in faith. We have to kind of train our senses to be able to pick up on what the Lord is saying and what the Spirit's saying. And so it's unique about how God made you. He's going to talk to you a little differently than me. You know, God knows me. He needs to slap me in the face and smack me in the head with it. And then, okay, I got it. And that's how I prefer, because it's clear. Some people have a little more nuance and God's going to speak quietly. But anyway, back where we were, you know, we were talking about, you know, Joe, we'll call him, and he didn't do anything all year long. I said this, he didn't do anything all year long until 10 months into the school year, when he gets up and decides to teach the entire class what we called inverse logarithmic functions. Inverse logarithmic functions, okay? And if you're feeling anxiety right now because you're remembering high school and a dark time in your life, imagine these kids.
I just did it with Brayden. Yeah.
What'd you say?
I just went over it with Brayden, our 15-year-old.
Our youngest son. Yeah.
Oh, very good. Very good. See, you know, you can tell us later how that went. But for these kids, it was just, you know, they didn't know what, you know, half of 12 was, you know, half the time. I couldn't even get them to learn their multiplication facts. This was challenging. And so when Joe gets up there and he's a rock star, and I didn't even know if he knew any algebra, and he's teaching this topic to perfection, cross your T, dot your I's, to the point where everybody has to listen to him because we're all just shocked that he knows this stuff and he's actually participating and vocally leading. I mean, he's leading. You know, it got my attention, you know. So if you missed last week, of course, he came back, he sat down, he gave me back my marker, said, I took care of it, Mr. Morris. You know what I mean? I'm trying to tone it back, Paul, because I'm trying to bring it up. I'm not, you know, whatever you said, the joke. But anyway, I'm up there in front and he calls me over to himself and he's saying, look, Mr. Morris, look, I want a Morrissey, man. What I got to do to get a Morrissey, dog? You know, he's getting real with me. And so that was the selling point for me. That was the boom shakalaka. I mean, that's like 90s. That's how old I am. But that was the proof that I needed that, oh my gosh, I need to take this silly thing that I think is a silly idea and get way more serious about it. Okay. It might seem silly, but it's not. You know, God might take the foolish things of the world to shame those who think they're wise and to bring to naught, you know, the things that are. I think the Bible says something like that. Somebody theologically check me on that, right? But he uses the foolish things of this world to shame those who think they're wise. And so he took a silly award that was made on a Word document on Microsoft Word with Algerian font, and he was blowing my mind. I had a girl, turns out suicide was starting to get addressed with this process. Okay. I don't know if I shared this. Did I share the suicide? Y'all remember?
No.
Oh, I got to tell you this story. Okay. So as I started doing
it. We wouldn't remember anyway. It's all new to us again anyway. So go
ahead.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So as I was starting to do this process, Ron, you know, Stephanie, Craig, Paul, Joe, audience, as I was starting to do this process every week, it was getting more and more fun. I mean, I was just getting tickled. I was having a blast. I was already like thinking of inside jokes and little ways I could kind of tease them, but they'd let me tease them because they didn't care, because they knew I was, you know, it was something fun for them. So they'd let you, they give you freedom, you know. Before I started doing the Morrissey Awards, it was like walking on eggshells. I mean, if I looked at a kid the wrong way, oh, I was going to be in the office because she didn't like the way I looked at her, and her mom's going to already be there, probably cussing me out, you know, in front of the, and it's turning into this whole big thing, and it's just toxic, right?
Yeah.
Well, now I could almost, I mean, it sounds bad, and I didn't do this for the record, but I almost could have cussed them out to their face for 30 minutes if I wanted to, because as long as I gave them a Morrissey Award, they just heard it like, you cute little baby. And, you know, they just took it differently, if that makes sense. And so I had all this wiggle room. I could be myself. I could joke around. I could just, because at the end of the day, I think the kids knew he loves us.
Amen.
And that was the difference. That's why I called the book Class Act, Changing the Educational Landscape Through Love. Because when you're doing the loving thing, which is putting people first, thinking about them, doing that, what I call personal transaction of care. I want every kid to feel a personal transaction of care with me. Something I did to notice them and they responded to. And then when you have that transaction with each kid, oh, it gives you all kinds of interest that comes back that way. It just pays dividends, if that makes sense, to speak in math terms, right? So I'm doing the Morrisseys every week, right? And I have this girl, I'm going to call her Crystal. I have no idea. Oh, someone wants to know how to spell the Morrisseys. Okay, let me spell it real fast. I'm spelling it. Okay. So I have this girl, I'm going to call her Crystal, all right? And maybe that's prophetic, because on her award, I called it the Jewel Award, because she... You could see the downtrodden look on her face day in and day out. She had this depression on her face. It's like she couldn't smile, like this heaviness. I noticed this, right? I call up her mom one day. I'm like, hey, tell me about Crystal. I've noticed she seems kind of down. I'm not really sure why. Apparently, she had lost her dad about the year before, so she was struggling with chronic depression from that. She was probably a little overweight, and maybe some kids had teased her. I don't know, but she had some self-image issues, right? And so I'm trying to think of like, how can I use this to kind of like, I wanted to go for Crystal today. I just decided. Sometimes I'll do it because of something they do that shows growth. And then sometimes they just need to pick me up and I just need to talk to their soul. That's how I look at it. So I said, Crystal needs something. So we called it the Jewel Morrissey Award. And I did it because the Lord showed me a while back how he sees women in particular. He sees them as a precious jewel. Not like us dudes. We're kind of rough. We're like these blocky objects. He's got to bang us around a little bit. It's not, he loves you, but it's not the same kind of thing. You know, the women are a precious jewel in his sight. And it's something God had shown me. And so I was like, she needs to know that. So I literally called it the Jewel Morrissey. I think I called it the Precious Jewel Morrissey. Goes to Crystal, blah, blah, blah. And I put a picture of a jewel clip art on the Morrissey Award. I said, look how precious it is. I said, that's how God sees you. And that's how I want you to begin to see yourself. It took me 5 minutes to make. This did not take much effort on my part. It took some thought and 5 minutes of action. That was it. That wasn't much. But the dividends it paid. So in the middle of class, I always did this. I would make about 45 minutes. I'd wait for the lull. Didn't take long in an algebra 2 class. And so I'd wait for the lull. And one of the kids, I felt like they needed to pick me up. And I looked over and she looked, you know, kind of like Eeyore. That's the best way I know how to put it. You see, kind of like, you know, she just had that Eeyore look. And I'm like, okay, now's the time. I'm going to hit her with the Jewel Morrissey Award. So I stop the music, or I stop what I'm doing. I play the music. Uh-oh, it's time for a random Morrisseys. You know, I think I already did a Morrissey 2 days ago. I'm going to do an extra one. And I said, oh, no. I was like, oh, gosh. You know, everyone's sitting up trying to get in their best behavior. And I just put it up there. And at this point, I had a projection. So I could use the camera, and it took up the whole wall. And it kind of looked more production-wise. And maybe I'm a bit theatrical. Somebody has claimed I've been that way, but... So I kind of use that. So I put up the image and they could see it projected everywhere. And then you could just see her eyes light up like a Christmas tree. I mean, going from just depression to like that. And so we had the habit, we had her come up. And so I always say, you have to come up, you know, and then you're going to clap. I said, if you don't clap for her, no one's going to clap for you. That gets them to do it because they're selfish, right? You got to start somewhere. So they're clapping for her because I really want someone to clap for them later, but they're doing it. And so she feels good, and it comes, the whole atmosphere changes, right? And so I give her the award, and I just told her, I said, let me talk to you right quick. I said, well, I just want you to know that you're precious. And if you're having any kind of thought that tells you otherwise, it's a lie from the pit of hell. I'm saying that in school, you know? And I said, you're precious. You're precious in God's sight. And that's the way that I want you to see yourself. And I just said a little something to her, and I made everybody clap, and that was it. And I'm not saying this to toot my own horn. I'm just saying this is what happened. I'm not thinking that much about it. I made it in 5 minutes. I handed it to her. I printed it out. I handed it to her. Everyone clapped. I moved on with my life, and I taught the lesson. I'm a man. I do one thing at a time. Now I forgot about her. It's been like 10 minutes. I'm doing the next thing. I'm not thinking about it. You know, I'm moving on with my life. Okay. It's now my planning period, right? I'm grading papers. I'm thinking about all the stuff I need to get done. Well, Crystal is over by my desk. She walks in kind of unannounced, and she goes, Mr. Morris. And I'm like, oh, hey, Crystal. She looks at me. She goes, how did you know? That's the first thing she says. She goes, how did you know? And I go, how did I know what? What are you talking? I forgot I gave her the award, to be honest with you. I wasn't even, that's how pathetic as a man I am. I was like, what are you talking about? How did I know what? And she goes, when you gave me that award, like that, you didn't hear? And I go, hear what? She goes, I thought everyone knew. And I'm like, what? She goes, well, I got checked. I was in the hospital last night. I almost didn't come to school today. I'm like, what? She goes, yeah, I've been struggling with depression, and I've been suicidal. And so I overdosed on some pills the night before. And so I had done it again. And so I was in the hospital. And so the guidance counselors found out about it, and they probably sent an email to me, to be honest. Maybe I missed it. You know, I'm trying, but I can't keep up with everything. I didn't know about it. And so I was just like, oh my gosh. So she tells me this. She goes, in the middle of class, right before you gave me that award, she goes, I was having suicidal thoughts again. And I kept hearing, kill myself, kill myself, kill myself. Tonight, I'm going to kill myself.
Amen.
Come on. I didn't have a clue any of that was going on. Did I say God uses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise and to bring the not? Did I tell you that? Yeah. I'm sitting there going, what? She goes, as soon as you gave me that award, it just took me out of that. Like, she was like genuinely thankful. Like, thank you. So now we stop someone from suicidal thoughts and doing what those suicidal thoughts tend to make you want to do, you know, commit suicide. Then I now know that's an issue that I would not have known otherwise. It's not like she's, hey, by the way, I'm going to announce to the world that I'm suicidal. No one's going to announce that. So now I'm like talking to the guidance counselors. I'm more in tune. I can look on cues. And so this kind of stuff was happening despite me, because I just obeyed God to give my five loaves and two fish. Plan for 2.5, you know, an hour and a half before every lesson, and then try some wacky ideas that come to mind while you're doing it. This is it. And so I'm just blown away, because I'm like, whoa, you know? And so it just totally changed the whole climate. We ended up having a school-wide version of it. I talk about it in my book. In fact, I went back and read it this weekend. You guys got me excited. So I went back and read a chapter. And I read the chapter, and I was cracking up laughing the whole time. I have to admit, it's actually a good read. I forgot it's a good book. It's a good read. Okay? It's because the Holy Spirit helped me do it. Okay? I'm not egotistical. I'm just saying. I did one good thing. That's a good book. So anyway, I'm reading the book, and it was amazing what happened. I mean, it was taken off so much that the other kids in the other classes were like, Mr. Morris, I want a Morris here award. I'm like, I don't know you, bro. I'll get my teacher to write up something about me. Will you give me an award? I'm like, this is amazing. So we would sometimes get kids to come out of their class and come to my room, and we'd do an award if their teacher emailed me something good about them. And so then it got so popular that the principal was like, let's do a school-wide version of it. So we were trying to figure out names. And so I'm going to change the name to the Valley Awards. It wasn't called the Valleys, but we're going to change the name to the Valley Awards. And so we found out a way to do the awards during pep rally. So since the kids are already together for the pep rally, we'll just take like 15 minutes and do the Valley Awards. And it was hilarious. Like we had all the teachers send in a Google form and nominate a kid who maybe was a knucklehead, but hey, we challenged him to do this, and he did it this week, dadgummit, you know? And so we would say, you qualify, right? And so at this point, you know, we were using social media. I found a way to post their awards, took screenshots, and we put them up on a school-wide version of the Valley Awards that the whole school had liked, right? So they could share it with their friends on social media. I would do special announcements. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know who's going to win the Valley Award again this week, but you better be on your best behavior. You better say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. You know, like I would just play around with it, but they could watch it on their phones and share it on their phones, and it just became this thing. It had this kind of like fun, cool factor kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so we had a blast. 1 week in particular, I wasted the whole week. I didn't teach one math class. I'm sorry to confess that. We didn't teach one math class. We had math class, and we were doing a dance choreography the whole week. We were practicing it. So we called it the Valley Town Funk, like Uptown Funk from Bruno Mars. But we changed the name, and we did this whole intro. Yeah, it looks like Stephanie knows what it is.
I love that song.
Yeah, right? And so the kids got into it. So we're going to surprise have this dance crew that came out in the middle of the awards that only some kids knew about. And we practiced doing the whip. We got the white kids doing the whip. The black kids are teaching the white kids how to do it. And so we got everybody on point. It was a struggle for some of the kids, but we got it figured out. And we had it all coordinated with certain kids. It was hilarious. And it got so popular that we ended up getting a deal with Fairway. And the kids who showed the most growth and character got on a billboard that was right outside the school. And
wow.
So four names. It was so powerful because it was like, you make one decision to turn towards life. You make one decision to do one thing. And look what happened. Now the whole community sees you differently.
Amen.
And then we got funding to do it from the community. I mean, I can't make this stuff up.
That's awesome.
So it was wild, y'all. And so anyway, you know, eventually God called me out of it to try to sum it up a little shorter. And the grace started changing. I noticed after 6 years of teaching, the seventh year, something like that, right after my baby was born, I started I couldn't be as fun loving with the kids. Like there are certain kids that annoyed me that never annoyed me. I would just everybody like they could be the biggest punk, you know, and they were always just, I loved them. You know, they were angels to me and I could always win them over for that period of time when the grace was on. But it's like God lift the grace. And I started getting a little snappy and I was like, what's going on? It felt hard. And eventually, you know, God started speaking to me like, it's time to step out. I'm taking the grace off. It's me, you know, and I'm like, oh, you know. And so now we're coinciding with a lot of stuff. How honest can I be on this show?
Honest.
Okay, can I talk about politics or is that just like we can't?
Oh, we talk politics.
Talk politics. Okay.
No politics, okay. No religion.
I'm going to do a test. I'm going to say a name. Yeah. Well, pick the wrong guy. I'm gonna say a name. I'm gonna see how you guys react, and then this is gonna be my test. All right, Donald Trump.
No.
Okay. So, 2015, I stepped out of teaching in 2016, the end of 2016. 2015, no lie. Talking about how God puts things in front of my eyes. God revealed to me, I believe, and I know this actually. I'm trying to be humble, okay, but it's probably false humility. God showed me that Donald Trump was going to be president in 2015. Okay. So we're talking like way early. Like there were probably still 14 other Republican candidates who were trying to get the Republican nominee. And it was around the time when, if you've ever heard of Kim Clement, I don't know if anyone's heard of him, but he was like a modern day prophet. A lot of the stuff he said has come to pass. He died in 2015, actually. So shortly after he gave this word, but he prophesied about 9/11 before it happened. He prophesied that Obama and Trump would be president. He gave some words that were for me actually personally that came to pass. So for me, it's just like I was learning about this guy. I never even knew there was like something called a modern day. But anyway, so he had a website, right, where he would play the piano, kind of like David. Imagine David playing the harp, you know, worshiping God, and he'd get like revelation, right? So he would play the piano, worship God, and he'd get these words. And he gave out this word about the next president. I'm bringing this up, I guess, for a reason. So, during the prophecy, he gave the specific word about who the next president was going to be. Remember, this is 2015. So Obama is still president. And he goes, the next president shall be a president of hot blood, a man of choice words. Hot blood and choice words. Those are the two things I remember. A man of hot blood, but I shall use him to tear down the powers that have come against this nation and the enemies of the West. And, you know, I was already aware of globalism and where the world was headed and what the threat was. I was very aware of this, scared about it, but didn't really know what to do about it. So to me, I was listening. I was like, wait a minute. Let me listen to this. He goes, a man of hot blood, a man of choice words. So as soon as he says those words, I said, man, if that doesn't sound, if I had to pick one candidate that I've seen on TV, that sounds like Donald Trump. It can't be Donald Trump because, you know, Donald Trump, you know, euphoria. I mean, I couldn't like wrap my mind around euphoria and he's the president, hail to the chief. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. But dadgummit, if that didn't sound like Donald Trump, if I had to pick one guy on that stage, I'm like, it's not Rubio. It's not, you know, Christie. It's not like the hot blood choice word. Like the choice word, like it's Donald Trump. But no, that can't be it. So I keep listening to the word. And so I had it playing on my earbuds and I'm putting away laundry because once a year I put away laundry at the request of my wife. This is the once a year.
This is a whole theory.
I do it. She's always nagging me.
Our husband. Yes.
I saw that, Stephanie. Yeah, I see that. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, you got a witness up in here. Once a year, I do it. So check this out. My sister had given me a shirt for my birthday, a nice button-down shirt, 4 years before this. So probably 2011, 2012. She gave me a shirt for my birthday. Never opened it. Looked kind of not my style. I thought it was tacky. I left it in the wrapper, just in my closet, because that's how I do it. Okay. Left it in there. I love you, sis. I just thought it was funny. But anyway, left it in my closet for 3 years. And out of all days, I decided to get the shirt out of the closet today while I'm listening to Kim Clement's prophecy about choice words. I am listening to this and I'm struggling. I'm literally saying this, Ron. I'm literally saying this, Paul, Joe, Craig, Stephanie, audience. I'm saying, it can't be Donald Trump. But man, that sounds like, no, I can't. I'm struggling with that concept. That sounds like Trump. No, it can't be. I pull the shirt out of the packaging for the first time. I've had it for 4 years. For the first time, and I pull it out, and I look at the tag on the shirt, and I went, oh. And the tag says, Donald J. Trump Signature Collection.
There you go. Was your prophecy before or after South Park?
Say that again, Craig.
I said, was your prophecy before or after South Park did their prophetic?
Oh, Lord, I don't know about that one, but I believe it. I'm going to go with before. I have no idea, Craig. But the point is, as I was replaying the word, a man of choice words, a man of hot blood, he shall be the new president. And I was struggling with, no, it can't be. It can't be. It can't be. I pull out the shirt and it said Donald J. Trump. And I looked at my wife and said, Hannah, I think I know the next. Okay, so why did I tell that story? One, I don't know. But B, I think it makes reason. When I'm stepping out of this, when I'm stepping out of the school, I'm struggling here because that's my full-time job. By the way, we have a baby now. First time ever, right? My wife had a full-time job and I had a full-time job and no baby. You understand? So God's math was, cool, let's give you a baby and she's going to quit her job. So now you're down to one job, teaching with a baby. Oh, Chris, by the way, you're stepping away from that job. So we're about to go from two jobs, no baby, to one baby and no jobs.
Yeah.
Understand what I'm being handed here?
Yeah.
So I need assurances. I'm Gideon. I'm like, Lord, please, I'm putting the fleece out, make it wet, make it dry, make it dry, make it wet, go down here. You know, I'm doing this stuff. And I remember what God told me. I watched. Now Trump is like about to be elected, maybe, or it's Hillary. And I told God, I said, if Trump gets elected, I'm going to know that I'm hearing you right and I'm not crazy. And I'm going to believe you about what you said about leaving this job. I literally made that deal with them. I said, that has to happen for me to believe this other thing. Because clearly, if that's wrong, I can't hear you. I can't trust that, you know? So I was giving myself a cop out. With that, you know, Trump got elected. And so I'm like, oh. And so I'm stepping out by the end of that year. And I stepped out because I believed the next day I was going to walk out of that school and then pitch out this idea about Morrissey's for schools and people are going to pay me money immediately and they were going to make sense and everything was going to be nice and easy, right? Because that's how business is. And I was going to make all this money. I was convinced of it, Stephanie.
I understand.
I was so convinced of it.
Yeah.
So the humbling
converting is tough.
Yeah.
What'd you say, Craig?
The logistics of converting the idea to monetary is tough.
Yes.
And then also converting it to bureaucrats, you know, who don't necessarily right. care exactly. about solutions, but they get right. tax money, so they don't care if it's a working product. That's they have to pretend like they care for the public, right. but they get paid either way. See?
Yeah.
Right.
So I had to figure that stuff out. It took a good 10 months of just utter failure and just humbling, and I'm going to run out of money and I'm going to lose my house, you know, like, and then God blows me away. So anyway, so that's what it is. We started a business called Morrissey Character Awards, LLC. That was the original version. And I found out a way I could easily make a teacher's version of an award. And I had a booklet that went with it and they could duplicate what I did, right? I told you I had a friend, her name was Rachel. I think she don't mind me saying this. Her last name was Carr. I'll say that. Her last name was Carr. And so she came up with her own version called the Oscars.
That's cute.
She came up with it herself. And so I was like, oh my God, that's genius. And so she had it spelled with two R's, so she called it Oscars, you know, and that gave me the idea, like, this could work for others, right? I had one kid, his last name was Tunnel. And he was in a very inner city school, okay? We're talking way even more, you know, it was, I was like, you need some help, brother, because you're not going to last it 4 months if you don't do something. So he goes, yes, please. So I made him a version, and we made a joke off the rap song, Number One Stunner, and we called his the Number One Stunnel. What? We embedded music, and we found all these kind of ways to do it, and they ate it up. I mean, they ate it up. And so it was a blast watching it work for other teachers, right? And so that's kind of how I got to where I could monetize it to a degree. People were paying individually, and then I would tell, you know, decision makers, but it's very difficult getting good ideas in public education. It's hard getting it in government. It's just like Washington, you know, it's almost impossible. It took a miracle of God. I mean, there's a few times I got business deals because I sowed a big seed and the Spirit of the Lord sent angels and helped me happen. I mean, that's what I'm convinced. Doing it normally would never work. Somebody would kill it. And so it took 10 months probably of working it before God sent me an angel of a lady who hooked me up with like 8 appointments in Tuscaloosa County and actually got a whole school to do it. That's a whole other story. And they paid me up front, like we're talking thousands of dollars, right before the mortgage was due tomorrow. I mean, the timing was, but God came through it on time, like he always does, right? And so, you know, it was God gave me some fruit and then he'd prune it and it'd go away. I got paid up front. So our needs were met. 2 weeks after we get into this school, the principal announces she's retiring. And she was my aunt in the district. 2 weeks after I got the business deal, she's retiring. I'm like, what? Apparently it had to do with the way the government does the retirement. If she didn't retire that year, she found out in a meeting that she was going to be short $400 a month in retirement. So she's like, I'm out. Well, guess who else was out? Chris Morris.
No.
So now I'm like, this took forever to actually manifest, and now I'm dead in the water as far as more business. Thank you, Lord, for that $25,000, you know, whatever it was. But I kind of wanted to do the thing, right? But God still had to humble me. Yeah, I still took God's credit so fast. As soon as God would do it, he would humble me for a year. I couldn't do anything. Then finally, I would be like, I can't do it, God. And then he would do it for me. And then 2 seconds later, I would be like, man, I'm smart. Listen to me, I'm the expert. I mean, I wouldn't say that, but I think in my heart, that was going on a little bit. And so God wasn't like up with that. And so he's like, no, you need to understand that only if I do it, can you do anything. So, you know, fast forward 6-7 years later, now I'm fortunately more humble than I was then. And I know I need him for anything. I need to talk to people like you. It has to be God doing it. The world's ways don't work for me. My own strength is nothing.
Amen.
When I come under his mighty hand and acknowledge him up front and I don't take the credit, I'm the safest I could ever be.
Amen.
So I come under his mighty hand, don't take the credit, acknowledge him and see him do it. That's the safest place Chris Morris can ever be. And anyone else, I suggest doing the same. Because otherwise, he's just going to, you didn't learn your lesson yet. Let's wilderness it a little more. And then you can try it again, son. And so, you know, that's kind of what it is. So now, I learned a lot. You know, I once heard someone say, you understand life backwards, but you live it going forwards, right?
Yes.
Live life forward, but you understand going backwards. And now I realize God didn't put me in public education for that season because he wanted me to be a career public education guy. Have you picked that up yet? That wasn't the goal. Okay. That wasn't his thing. He wasn't saying I'm a big fan of American public education and I want you to make a change in public education because it's such a great system.
No, that wasn't him.
That wasn't really it. See, when you're in a kitchen and the kitchen is on fire, I once heard this from a good friend of mine, Patrick. I'm gonna give you credit, okay? I'm not stealing this. But when the kitchen's on fire, you don't go, oh, the kitchen's on fire. Let's hire a new chef and maybe he'll make dinner for the evening guest better. That's the problem. Let's hire a new chef. I know the kitchen's on fire, but the problem is we just need to hire a new chef.
Right.
That's what goes on in public education.
Yeah.
God had me in there to rescue the product, to get the pies out of the fridge, to get the chicken out. It's on fire. He had me going into public education for the children. It was always about the children and saving the children and being a buffer against the system's toxic ways that are affecting the children. And he had to almost send me in like a special agent to protect them. If that makes sense. Sorry if that sounds harsh.
No, it doesn't.
Behind enemy lines.
Amen.
No, I think COVID was the first time American parents saw how the school system really worked, how inefficient it is, how lost it is, how what the curriculum is and what their agenda is from that curriculum. So, you know, I mean, Steph, I think the 2 years of early COVID was doing more coaching about depression, suicide, in moms that were trying to find a way to educate their kids.
More than anything,
you were necessary to protect those kids.
So how do you move from that public education to homeschooling and consulting and homeschooling now, and you're also doing what now?
So great question, Ron. A whole lot of waiting on the Lord is my first answer. So there's probably a good 7 years.
That's always good. That's good.
Yeah. You know, God let me try stuff. I remember praying like, God, can I have this school? And I whined about it. And he finally said, okay, fine. And it really wasn't what I wanted, actually, but he gave it to me because I kept being insistent. And I needed to get some wins. I needed to learn some business strategies. I needed to understand how to negotiate. I needed to learn through experience and learn how to wait. You know, and that's a whole nother lesson. You know, the educational education and a business educate, those are so separate things.
Right.
I didn't even know what marketing was. You know, like it was ridiculous. So I had to go through that to learn some basics because he didn't call the qualified guy. He called the guy and he's like, I'm going to qualify you because I'm God and I can do anything. And so for 7 years, it was like a little bit of a win. That one deal I told you about, I'll just tell you, they gave me almost $25,000 up front to institute my model for the whole school. It's supposed to be over 2 years.
Right.
The woman decides she's going to retire. So then they were scrambling to get a new principal. Bottom line is they wasted $25,000.
Yes.
No, because it wasn't wasted.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't wasted at all. Hallelujah. It wasn't wasted. But I'm just saying on their end of things, everything stopped. You know, they only did it for 3 months and then whoops. Oh, well, we hired somebody else and he's going to decide to do something else. That's how they waste your money. That's how inefficient it is.
Yes.
And so I actually had a dream to answer your question, Ron, about 3 and 3.5 years ago. And I was still trying to do the award thing as my primary way to do. And God gave me a dream where I was in my kitchen and no water would come out of the spigot. So then I went to the bathroom and no water went into the spigot in the water. Then I went to every room in my house. There was no water coming out. And there's like 20 people in my backyard building a huge hole. They're digging. It's like they're looking for water. I don't know. So I go out to the backyard and there's nothing but a big hole. The next morning I'm reading my devotional and it says, do you feel like you're spinning your wheels? And no. It gave a verse about digging wells where there's no water. It was some scripture reference that said that exactly in my devotion. And then it said, if you're trying to do something and it's just not working, blah, 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 it can be like digging holes where there's no water. You think there's going to be something there, but when you go out to inspect the hole, there's nothing but one big, large pit. That's what the devotion said, which was exactly what I dreamed the night before. And I was like, God, even someone like me gets that one. So I was like, okay, so what's the new method? It took a while, but you know, I work for VIP Kid. If you don't know what that is, that was when this unique company that was around for a while where you could teach Chinese kids English online. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
And so I would get up early in the morning, like 5 a.m. because it's like 12-hour difference there. Mm-hmm. And I taught lots of Chinese kids English, but it actually helped me. I learned how to teach online. I learned how to maintain a positive demeanor the whole time. And I learned how to get high ratings. And I had a ton of parents who talked about me in China and they wanted me to be their teacher. And so I learned, like, it gave me confidence that I could do online teaching. And I did that for like 2.5 years till I finally couldn't do it because of the, you know, the communism of it all. And me, I'm too much of an American. I'm like, I can't do it anymore. But even then, like, I was working at a homeschool academy. That was another part time. I would tutor a little bit, this homeschool academy, and then homeschool community is tight. So they like you. They start telling their friends about you. And then they start telling your friends about you. Well, I was at this academy, and then one day I had four different parents come up to me, and they didn't have to say this. They said, "Chris, by the way, we unenrolled our kid from this academy, and we enrolled him into this academy because we heard about you. We want you to be our kid's teacher." I went, "Oh, well, thanks for saying that. I didn't know that. You know, the boss wasn't going to tell me that." Another parent came up to me. "By the way, we unenrolled him from this school. We enrolled him in this school because we want you to be their teacher." It happened like four different times in a matter of 2 days or so. So then I started being like having the confidence, like I could be a draw. Like people might come to, specifically to me, and I might be the reason why they're doing something. So it gave me confidence to do what I'm doing now. Mm. And so, you know, it was last year, I shared this with somebody. It may have been y'all, but this is how God talks to me. It's context, Ron. Mm. I told someone this the other day. I was looking outside all day looking at these crazy clouds in this one particular day. The clouds were awesome. I mean, they look like, oh, that's a bear. That's a this. And I have little girls, so we like looking at clouds. Or at least that day we do. I've never done it since. But that day I was looking at clouds. We were driving all around town for 5 hours that day looking at clouds. It was just the theme of the day. It was a Sunday afternoon. It was a nice day. Let's go look at clouds today. Why not? I get home from that day of looking at clouds, which I never do this. I'm not nature. That's great. But I'm not going to get all and romanticize about nature. That's not me. But that day I did. I opened my devotional. I had this app, and the devotional app was from Ecclesiastes. I usually read it in the morning, but I forgot that day. I decided to look at clouds for 5 hours, and then I read the devotional app. That's important. Ecclesiastes said that day in my devotion, "He who regards the cloud shall not reap." There you go. "He who regards the clouds shall not reap." Did you hear the story, the buildup, the context, the fact that for 5 hours I had been watched? If I had done my normal routine, I would have read that in the morning. It would have meant nothing to me. But because I read it when I read it, it meant everything to me. Mm-hmm. And so the person went on to talk about when you know it's time to step out and do what God's called you to do. So I was like, so I'm like, okay, let's try again. So I thought about everything I did wrong the last time and what I would change. And I realized I confused everyone. Half the people thought my name was Chris Morrissey because I called it. My name's not Chris Morrissey, people. It's Chris Morris. So everyone thought I was Chris Morrissey.
You know, you advanced the story of Gideon, by the way. You are the mighty warrior, because his next move was to go down in the dark to the camp because he still didn't believe. And he heard from the parents saying, "We've taken our kids out of school. We want you to teach them."
Thank you, Craig. That is a good point. I never thought of that before.
And you didn't have to throw a fleece. Way to go, Craig. That's right.
Not a literal
water. You didn't have water anyway. You couldn't get any of the
story too. That story, because he told Gideon, "If you're scared, take a servant with you." He didn't say, "If you're scared, it's okay, go home." He's like, "If you're scared, you're still going."
Yeah.
I always need as a reminder.
I identify with that. Yes.
Yeah, totally.
The plan hasn't changed, but we'll give you some pillows, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, so anyway, so that's kind of the evolution of it. So I took a course that helped me kind of think about ways to get clients online. I had the confidence now that I didn't have before. I still didn't have a lot of confidence, but I had at least enough to take the next step. I realized when you confuse, you lose. So I said, I'm going to be very clear in what I do. Morris Model Education.
Chris, I got 1 minute. Go ahead, buddy. I got 1 minute. Go ahead on our time.
Okay. Oh,
yeah. Ask for them to ask questions or for me to continue.
Yeah. Take another minute. I'm going to give you a close. Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, but that's kind of what I do now. So online, because of COVID, it made this possible. Everyone's used to Zoom. Everyone's used to online. And so it made sense because of the timing, you know.
Oh,
God was preparing me in 2016 and 17 for something that wasn't even a technologically acceptable thing, but people are now open to it. And so because of 2020, like you said, Craig, to allude, people now were like, we need to get kids out of public school. We need to save our kids. We need a solution, and there is none. And so the harvest was ready. God knew that.
And so COVID was a blessing.
Yeah. You know,
finally, there's one thing about COVID, maybe one or two, huh? That opened up our eyes and could be used in a
Well, I mean, when you have like 11-year-olds reading the current accepted books in a teacher's union or supervisor's assembly, and it's pornographic, it's like they're asking them, or other teachers that are reading it, and they're asking them to stop because there's a young child in the room. for fifth grade. I'm like, whoa.
I'm sorry.
I kind of feel like the teacher in the class now myself years ago. We're having a great discussion, but the bell's going to ring. So I'm going to go ahead and say a word here. Stephanie, how are you doing? You doing good?
I'm fine. I was actually, I can do the closing, but I was actually trying to find, Chris, what's your website? Will you tell everybody?
Thanks for asking that. Please go there if you're interested in getting help for your kid. It's morrismodel.com. If you can see it on there. Morris, my name is M-O-R-R-I-S. M-O-R-R-I-S and the word model. So
not Morrissey model.
Just not Morrissey model, people.
Just Morris.
That's my old business. We close that.
Go ahead. I know that we talked a little bit last week too, that you have a special kind of multiplication thing. I highly recommend that as a parent for the summer, something simple, keep them engaged so they're not behind. They're going to actually be advanced with their multiplication. So definitely check out the different offerings on the website.
Yeah, appreciate that. Yeah, it's called the 7-Day Multiplication Mastery Challenge. It's on the website. If you scroll to the bottom, you'll see it. And it's really cheap. It's like $40 and it's like 7 days. And let's get this thing done. Kids respond well to challenges.
Yeah. There's one other good thing, Chris. I wish we had more time. But tomorrow, TJ, if you can put that up now, if you want to see Chris again tomorrow, he's going to be on 7 a.m. Pacific time on our dear friend, Dr. Marianne Cintron's program. And there he is. And you can go directly to that and get the information. Once again, we've got the information for you so you can follow through on him and see what God's up to next. Here's a guy following
that God. That will be on her YouTube channel. So if you go to YouTube and you just search for Dr. Marianne Cintron, she's fantastic, or Step-by-Step Dyslexia, you'll be able to find her there. And then also Chris's book is called Class Act, obviously by Christopher Morris. You can find it on Amazon. And then we really appreciate you guys. I actually got a lot of commentary about last week. There it is. Because it was just Chris's, you know, very quiet guy, and he's hard to have on as a guest. We just appreciate we appreciate you guys jumping on and listening and being patrons and supporting us. You can catch any of our past and upcoming shows on bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. You can scroll down. You can learn about each one of us. You can get all the past stuff. You can also donate, and takes money to make the world go round, right? We'd really like to expand what we're doing here. So we appreciate your generous and faithful donations to the program. We're so appreciative. We're on, you know, a bazillion different platforms now. There's Pastor Joe's book, Legitimate Faith. So we've got all kinds of things going, and you can find it all on the website.
Amen. We're going to have you back, Chris, later.
Chris, I'd just like to say, dadgummit, is good to have you.
I like it.
Ron,
I'll take 1 minute. One is.
We got half a minute. Go ahead.
All right. I'd like to take that concept of a personal transaction of care and put it related to husbands and wives. That's a great another program, though. And number two, I want to talk about our connection with University of Tennessee, Knoxville. My nephew, niece graduated from there. Jabari Greer played football. I've got Chattanooga family still there. So crazy connection to the. And Morris is my cousin's last name's also a whole line of them.
You're already
related.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, 6:55, 5:55. We're about to sign out. And Chris, you come back and see us again. I'll get a hold of you. A couple of dates. Sure. See if we can't schedule you again.
Yeah, that'd be great.
As long
great.
As you don't teach math, we love you.
I got a few lessons ready to go, so just let me
get that. I want that Morrissey domain.
Ron, if you keep it up, it's coming, baby.
We want you to make a Raising Expectation Morrissey for us. Yeah, for Ron. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks so much for tuning in tonight to Raising Expectations. May the Lord go with you. Hey, listen, talk to him. He's got great things planned for you, whether it comes from a cookie or whether it comes from the clouds. He's got something to say to you, just like Chris. And if you feel like you can help us at all, we appreciate it. God bless you. Keep you. We'll see you soon. We'll get Chris back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m., Dr. Marianne Cintron, right there on
YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Thank you. YouTube. Thanks, Tim. Okay. God bless you. We'll see you later. Love you, buddy. Take care of yourself.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate y'all.
Good to see y'all.
Say hi to Eden and Emerson and Hannah for us.
Yeah, will do. They're asleep, but Hannah might be awake. Okay.
All right.
See you later.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.